Good morning. Great to see each one of you with us this Sunday morning. And I'm going to invite you to take your hymnal. Go with us, please, to 472. 472. We'll sing Heavenly Sunlight. Hope that you've all enjoyed a wonderful week. And we're so glad to see you back this Sunday as we begin our 38th year at Bible Baptist Church. Just think, a year from now, we'll be celebrating 38 years. So let's make it a great year. Why don't you join me in standing? 472. Let's all sing together as we stand. Heavenly Sunlight, 472.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing. Jesus is mine.
On the last,
in the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Thank you. Great singing this morning. Please be seated.
Welcome, everyone. We're glad to see you. Good to have you here. We have the Heckemans are here from Florida. Always good to see Mr. and Ms. Heckeman. And appreciate when they come and visit. And the Knapps have family in. This is Loretta's sister and brother-in-law. And they've been here before, but they live up in Ohio. And how do you say that, Martha? Ohio. Kind of run it together or something. Ohio. She is from Bryan, Ohio area, which is up in that flat part, 60 miles from Toledo and 40 miles from Michigan and 45 miles from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and still in Ohio, huh?
Minutes,
45 minutes from there. And you fly into Detroit now.
Fort Wayne.
Okay, that's closer. And these folks are closer to I-77, I think, straight up in Ohio. Might not get quite as cold and windy up there. Well, glad to see everybody. Thank you for being here today. Hope you had a great week last week. And even if you didn't, you got a fresh start for a new week today. And today is the Lord's Day. We're glad to have the Van Sants with us today. We'll hear from them in just a few moments. And they are missionaries in the Ukraine, and they speak Russian and English and two types of sign language, Russian and English sign language. And they work with the deaf. They went there a long time ago, about 20-something years, with Bill Rice Ranch on a survey. They were school teachers in Iowa at a Christian school at an Independent Baptist Church in Iowa. They're both graduates of Tennessee Temple University. And they learned sign language, and they went on that survey trip with the Bill Rice Ranch and got a burden for the deaf in the Ukraine. And they came back and raised their missionary support and went to the mission field, and we met them when they were raising support for the first time when they came through this way. And we've become not just supporters but friends over the years, and we're delighted to have them here today. You pray for them as they travel. Tonight we have Sam speaking, and we have an afterglow, so bring some food tonight, and we'll stick around after service and have something to eat and some good fellowship. Mother's Day's coming up. There'll be a dinner. We will have Sunday school that day and have the morning service at 11 o'clock and then a dinner to follow after that. And we'll need to do set up and take down just like we've done in the past. And we've got the World Worldview Conference from Worldview from Genesis Conference coming up May 15th with Evangelist Skip Tilton. He'll be here Sunday at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, he'll speak at 7, and that'll give you more time to get home, get the kids in bed, and that sort of thing. And he will bring a support of the biblical view of creation and all of those things. So, a lot going on, a lot to look forward to, and a lot happening. Please remember to pray for the sick and those in need. Our son Daniel is having trouble sitting in the car or sitting at home. He can stand up and walk around okay. And so please do continue to pray for him and for Joyce Osteen, who had shoulder surgery. And pray they'll get well enough to get back in church and be with us again soon. Some are traveling and vacationing and got a few folks sick. Still those old nagging colds and coughs hanging around. So we're glad all of you are here, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the service and those that couldn't be with us today. Gary Cofty, will you do that for us, please?
No.
join the choir in standing. We'll spend a few moments shaking hands and greeting each other. If you're a guest, this is your first time, you can just stay where you are, and we'll come by and say hello. That chorus, only a sinner saved by grace. Many of you know it. Ready? Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. We may hold many titles. In this world, you may be a father, you may be a husband, you may be a president, you may be a boss, you may be, I don't know, a dignitary, some sort of representative or ambassador, I'm not sure, but sinner saved by grace is the most important one when we reach heaven. That will be the thing that matters. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 370, and we'll sing Count Your Blessings. I'm sure that many of you could stand up here if we were asked for a long time and just spend time sharing with us the things God's done for you. Let's sing about it. Can we do that? We'll sing the first and the last. 370, Count Your Blessings, 370.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
All together on that last.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Thank you. Good singing. Be seated, please.
All right. Good job. Thank you very much, Mr. Darrell Lightsey. Is I pronouncing that right? Lightsey is your last name? He's a visitor with us today, and he's looking for a church home. So he's sitting on the back. Be sure and greet him and tell him what a wonderful church you have here. And he might have a question, you know, about it or something. So nice to have you here, sir. And tonight we have 6 o'clock service. Afterglow, what time is choir practice? 4:50, Jim. 4:50, Jim. And choir practice at 4:50, then service at 6 o'clock, deacons meeting at 5:30. And service at 6, and Brother Sam will be bringing the message tonight. I always look forward to hearing him. He's always well prepared and has a good message, and we look forward to that. Looking forward to hearing from the Van Sants this morning. Our missionaries in Ukraine, have been supporting them for probably 18, 19 years. And they will be going back for their 18th anniversary. Bob will be shortly. And church will have 18th anniversary. There's 4 churches there as a result of their ministry. And a couple of those are deaf churches. When I was there for the 15th anniversary, I think they had 40 in the deaf service that day. And had over 100 in the hearing service, and so God's used them there to establish a good work, and we pray that it'll be able to go on. The Russian government's moved in, taken over to Crimea. Don't hear much about it anymore. Russia does what it wants to do, and the world, you know, comments on it a couple of times, and then they forget about it, and it just goes right on, and that's kind of what's happened now. And we have the other missionaries we're supporting in Ukraine in the north, and the O'Briens, and they've built a church. And he and his son and just a few people basically did all the construction work on it. And it's a beautiful building. And now they've got to get approval from the Ukrainian government to have all the right paperwork done, you know, and permits and all those kind of things to be a registered church so it can continue on. And this last trip to Van Sant's got a lot of that taken care of. So we praise the Lord for that. Thank you for being here today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering and this service. Every gift that comes in, 10% of the general offering goes to missions, plus many of our folks give faithfully to missions by faith. We call that a faith promise, mission giving. And then the church is to be good stewards with what you give to the Lord. And praise the Lord for the stability of this church, the ministries of this church, and the beneficial giving, the generosity of this church. We're sending a check today for $1,000 to Ecuador, or the Franco Loyola there is a pastor of a large work, and there's several mission churches. Some of those suffered tremendously in the earthquake, and so he can administer this money to the ones who need it most. And we appreciate the church's help with that and generosity with that. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. Rob Millwood, would you bless it for us, please, today?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here today. Lord, thank you for your grace and for your word, Lord. And we know from your word that you're faithful, Lord. And we know from evidence in our own lives, Lord, as Christians, the way that you deal with us, Father. We're thankful that we can put our trust in you. Lord, help us to be better witnesses in our lives, Lord. We think of family members, friends we know that aren't saved. Lord, we just pray that you empower us, help us, Father, to put your word out there, Lord. Help us to be faithful witnesses. We pray for the visitors that we have today, Father. Lord, we pray for this offering. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. It is finished. Great message to that song. Mr. Ron Baltz is going to come and sing for us before the message, and Pastor will introduce the speaker here in a moment.
Good morning. In 1873, George Bernard was born in Youngstown, Ohio. He grew up in Ohio, in Iowa, with his family, and even as a young man, he wanted to be in the ministry. He wanted to be serving God, but he couldn't because his family needed him to work to help support them. But finally, after he got married, he got involved with the Salvation Army. They were brigade leaders. They left that to go into the Methodist Church, and they were doing evangelistic campaigns with other famous preachers around the Midwest. And it was at a meeting in 1912, I guess, in Michigan, where he was mocked and reviled by people in the crowd. And the way he responded that was by writing this song. If I should only respond that way whenever I get mad about something or somebody picks on me, turn around and say, God, I'm going to write a song for you. I should do that. And I've challenged myself to that end. He died in 1958 on October 10th. That was 10 days after I was born. And now it's 2016. So it's 100 years ago that this song was finally published. And in the final version, it was five men singing, accompanied by a guitar. And I like that. I like that.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left the glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you, Ron. I did not know the history behind that. Very interesting. Thank you very much. All right, Van Sants, if you'll come on at this time, and I think Betty, Bob is going to have Judy say something about the ministry and the work, and then he will bring the message for us today. And thank all of you for being here, and this is one of your missionaries we've been supporting for a long time, and they've done a great work in the Ukraine, and we appreciate them so much. Ron playing the guitar, I started to say piano, it'd be hard to hold that up here. He reminds me that the missionaries quite often, when they go to the mission field, you know, they got to start brand new. They sometimes don't have a place to meet. They don't have music. They don't have, sometimes they don't have a piano player. Judy plays piano. Did you play before you went to the Ukraine? And she plays quite often in the church there. And but, you know, having music and somebody that can sing, you got to at least be able to kind of carry a tune, you know, to lead singing. And you got to do it in a foreign language. Imagine all the difficulty it takes to pioneer brand new. And that's what these folks did. They went there without other assistance and pioneered a work in Simferopol, Ukraine.
A while ago we sang Showers of Blessings, and I was sitting in my mind thinking, I'm blessed for this church. I mean, you guys have been a blessing to us through the years, and your pastor and his wife are some of the sweetest people that we know. We love them. Love you very much. We were able to, we had to leave Ukraine last year. Most of you guys know that. It became Russia. We're no longer missionaries in Russia. We're in Ukraine. We're missionaries in Russia. And it took us almost a year to get a Russian visa. And this last January, just about 3-4 months ago, we were able to get a 3-year multi-entry visa into Russia, Simferopol, Russia. And this past February and March, we went back. While we were there, we were there for 3 weeks. We went into every home of every member of our church and sat and talked with them and cried with them because they want us to come back and stay. In 2 weeks, my husband will be going back it's the 20th year anniversary, because it's a special day. I would like to go, but I've been really sick for the past month, and I'm just now getting over the pneumonia and things like that, so I'm not going to be able to go. The main reason is when you go into a doctor's office or to a hospital, there's a big sign on the door that says, no foreigners allowed. The only way you can see a doctor or go into a hospital is if you are a Russian citizen, and they did that to force everyone to become Russian citizens. But we're hoping these things are going to calm down. We can't get money in there. And so, but we are planning to go back in the end of July for 3 months to see, to test the waters right now. There's hardly any foreigners whatsoever living in the peninsula. You cannot, the borders are all closed. You cannot take a bus in or train in, cars in. If you're an American, you can't even walk across the border if you're an American because, America has put a ban on that area. But we can fly to Moscow and fly in from Moscow. So we do plan to go the end of July. Pray with us. We don't know how long we're going to be able to stay. Hopefully we can stay 2 or 3 months at that time. But it's going to depend on what the Lord, how he leads in that area. Thank you so much for praying for us.
Happy birthday. We missed it last week. But 37 years, that's quite an accomplishment. If you think of one word that would describe Bible Baptist Church, it would have to be faithfulness, faithful. I'm sure all of your missionaries would agree with that. And your pastor is faithful, 37 years in the same place. That is just as rare as hen's teeth, as my grandpa used to say, which I assume they're pretty rare. So faithfulness would have to be the word that describes Bible Baptist Church, and you're to be congratulated for staying on the old path. And this, believe it or not, this leads into the message. America is in a sad shape, and it's getting worse rapidly. And we're quick to blame politicians. And boy, if we just had a different president, or if we just had a different this or that. But I think it's worse than that. I think it's pulpits that used to preach the gospel that don't preach it anymore. So therefore, we have Christians who used to obey the Word of God who don't obey it anymore. And you know from looking around, society is a reflection of the churches in it, in that society. And so this church is rare. And you travel around, if you go on vacation very often, or if you travel around the country and visit other churches, if you're smart, and you look smart from here, you're glad to get back home and get back in your own church. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 20. God wrote in the book of Amos that he would, in chapter 8, that he would send a famine in the land. And it wouldn't be a famine of food and water, it would be a famine of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God. I would say, though America is not the center of prophecy, certainly, I would say that we are experiencing that famine today of reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 20, I want to read actually quite a few verses. And you know, I can't see that clock, so I'll just keep going until everybody walks out. Is that all right? Just is that what time it is? Good, thank you. Let's see. Acts chapter 20, let's start in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples unto them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, everyone, night and day, with tears. I think it would be safe, not safe, I think it would be all right if we switched in there in verse 31, for the space of 37 years. Pastor Parrish has ceased not to preach and teach from this pulpit the Word of God. Now, he has warned us of many things through the years. And if we're going to see another 37 years, probably in the next 37 years sometime, there's going to be somebody else come and take this pulpit, take this pastorship. And so there's some things that we need to remember and some things that he has taught us that we need to look at and keep in mind and keep in our hearts. He warned us about salvation. Boy, if there's anything that's gotten messed up in the 21st century, it is the way to heaven. Every conceivable strange path has been provided for people as a way that they think is a way to heaven. All you have to do is watch television just a little bit and catch some evangelist on there, and you'll hear some of the strangest things about how we should get to heaven. Acts chapter 20, verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul's on his third missionary trip here. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. The salvation that we've been told about here for 37 years is the salvation of sincerity. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's not deeds, it's not baptism, it's not giving, it's not membership, it's not being the right place in the right place at the right time, it's not the right church. It's the right Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard preachers say that on television, being interviewed. And somebody will ask him, well, do you think that that means that this group and this group is not going to heaven? As if that person made the rules. God has already told us there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's by faith and grace alone. That's it. You repent, you receive Christ. It's as simple as that. It's simple, yet it's so complex that people miss it every day. It has to be a supernatural salvation. It's not anything that we do for ourselves. It's something that God does for us by the Holy Spirit's changing in our lives in repentance. It's scriptural. It's a scriptural salvation. It's the Bible way. It's not the Baptist way. We, as you know, travel extensively and see all kinds of churches. And sometimes I put a picture on our Facebook page of some strange named church we run past. I think the most recent one, we were in Florida, and we saw the Queen of Heaven Church. Our salvation is a scriptural salvation. It's the Bible plan. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way is the ways thereof are death. Man does not have a way of salvation. Man can't even take care of himself. Can you imagine man trying to come up with a plan to get to heaven? We can't even agree on law. We can't even agree on which bathroom to go into. Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to come up with a plan to get us to heaven that we could agree on? It takes God to do that. And He did it before the foundation of the world. We need to remember that plan of salvation and not get away from it. We need to also remember about cults. We've been warned about cults and isms. In Russia, and we're now missionaries in Russia. In Russia, Baptists are a cult. Anything outside the Orthodox Church is considered a cult. Therefore, as we witness or we have meetings or special meetings or whatever, the people are reminded by their Orthodox Church not to go to that Baptist church because the Baptists are a cult. So it's very difficult to have special meetings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, the Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." The big crowds, the biggest crowds, doesn't mean the right message. I guess I can name some names. Benny Hinn has huge crowds all through Europe. I mean tens of hundreds of thousands of people. Don't be confused. Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. Just because it's big and sounds good doesn't mean it's right. It's the old paths. Wherein is the good way that we need to stay on? And we've been warned here about that. Satan himself is the father of a family. There are only two families, spiritually speaking. The devil's family and God's family. That's clearly spelled out in Scripture in John 8:44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." If there's no truth in him, that means he's a liar. And the things that he says are lies. And the temptations that he hands out are lies. And the big billboards that are brightly lit about sin are lies. He's a liar. We've been warned about Satan's appearance. He appears to be one of us. And his disciples appear to be one of us. They smell like we do. They dress like we do. They carry the King James Bible like we do. But they're not of us. And Jesus said they went out from us because they were not of us. They don't last. It's a false salvation. They're not the real thing, even though they may appear to be. We've been warned about cults and isms. For this church to go another 100 years of Jesus tarries, we've got to guard ourselves from the cults and the isms that try to come in and take over and make changes. It's the old path. We've been warned about our children. Let me read you something that I found on Google. You know, Google. Okay. So, at the turn of the 20th century, American educator and pastor A.E. Winship decided to trace out the descendants of Jonathan Edwards almost 150 years after his death. Jonathan Edwards was born back in about 1700. So this pastor decided he was going to go through the genealogy and just find out. We've been warned about our children. We've been warned to train them in the right way. We've been warned that the world hates them. We've been warned that the television is out to get them. We've been warned that video games are not always necessarily games, but they certainly are training platforms for children. So here's Jonathan Edwards. Here is his, what he left behind. Here's his lineage. Of his children, grandchildren, down through, there was one U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries from the family of Jonathan Edwards. Why? Because he was careful to train his children. He did not let the world train his children. And we've been warned about that. We've been warned that it's our job to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it, Proverbs 22:6. We've been warned. We need not forget those warnings. We have to discipline our kids. We have to disciple our kids. We have to direct our kids. Kids are not like weeds that you just, you know, out in the garden, if you don't till the garden, you just let the weeds come up and they just, whatever happens, happens. That's not our children. Our children will turn out that way if we don't direct them and train them. We've been warned about our children. We've been warned about our companions. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, one of my favorite characters is Daniel, but this is David. David said in Psalm 163, I believe, 119, 163, "I am a companion of all them that fear God and keep his precepts." I am a companion. I am a friend of those who follow God. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Don't let people choose you as their friend. You choose your friends. And choose them carefully. Now, there's a difference between friends and acquaintances. We all have acquaintances. When we go to work, we go to the store, our neighbors, they're acquaintances. And that's fine. But when we're talking about friends, we need to have friends that will build us up in Christ, that will strengthen us in the gospel, that will keep us to be faithful to the Word of God. Choose your friends carefully. You are identified by the people you run around with. Somebody said, it wasn't me, "You are now or you soon shall be what your friends are." They don't change. They will not change. I've used the illustration of the bad apple in a bushel of good apples. The good apples never change the bad apple to be a better one. Even though there's just one, it's always the one that influences the whole. Be careful about your friends. They'll influence you. We've been warned about our friends. We've been warned about that. The reason this church is still where it is today, where it needs to be even tomorrow, is because we've been warned. Faithfulness. Stay faithful. We've been warned about carnality. The world, I'm telling you, has come up with some of the most, well, the devil has come up with some of the most seemingly harmless ways to distract us from doing God's will. I mean, on the surface, they look fine. Even on the surface, they may look religious or spiritual. But under the surface is that hook that the devil uses to hook somebody into not doing God's will. 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Length of time you've been saved does not always equal spiritual maturity. Length of time that you've been a church member does not necessarily translate into the length of spiritual maturity. What translates into spiritual maturity is the time you've spent in the Word of God with God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Why is this church so faithful? Because they've kept the Word of God as the center of everything. Why is this church still here? Because they've centered, you have centered yourself around Jesus Christ. When that center around Jesus moves to something else like social activity, then the power of God leaves. It's popular now to do social activity for churches. They get a nice t-shirt that says Love Works or Christ in Action or something, and they go wash windows for old people or rake leaves or clean gutters. And that becomes the center of their focus as far as the church goes, doing things for others. And that's wonderful. I'm getting older. I want somebody to come and clean my gutters. But when the center of the attention of the church leaves Jesus Christ and evangelism and spreading the gospel and moves to something else, it steps out from in underneath God's protection, God's umbrella of blessings. You are where you are still after 37 years because Jesus is still the center. The Bible, the Word of God, is still the center. I saw yesterday, and you know you can believe everything you read on Facebook. I just want to make that blanket statement. 82%, according to this article, 82% of the people that read their Bibles prefer the King James Version. Isn't that good? All right, now, we need to think. If 82% prefer the King James Version, how can they sell so many of these other things? I'll tell you one reason. It's the same reason our culture is in such a mess. People that read their Bible don't do anything about what they read in their Bible. Target. The store, I mean. Target. Big uproar going on about Target and bathrooms. You know the thing. Does that mean that we're going to make any changes in our lifestyle, where we shop? Or are we just going to be, like most of the time, angry, frustrated, as we walk into Target?
What's Target?
It's a thing that the devil puts on your chest when you get saved. Is it going to make any real difference? We preach and hit hard against Hollywood movies as we go in to watch a Walt Disney. You see, reading our Bibles has to make a difference. Our culture is like it is because of us. Because of pulpits that quit preaching the gospel. Because of a focus that's gone away from Jesus Christ. We've been warned. Pastor Parrish has warned us for 37 years about these things. He hasn't changed. You guys have supported us for nearly 20 years. Maybe a little more, actually. Same message for 22 years that we've been associated with you guys. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. The center has always been around Christ and the Word of God. That's a good thing. Yes, we can, you know, wash windows. That's great. If it's a tool for evangelism. In Russia, or actually when it was Ukraine, we brought humanitarian aid by the actual truckload, containers full of humanitarian aid. Passed it out to thousands of people. Hundreds and hundreds of wheelchairs, hospital beds, all kinds of things. But those were tools for evangelism. We would get requests from hospitals. Can you get us an x-ray machine? Can you get us this machine that's special to do this and this? No, we don't do that. I'm sorry, we don't do that. Yeah, but you brought us all these wheelchairs. Yes, but you didn't let us come in and preach and pass out Bibles and visit people in their rooms. You didn't let us do that. Ah, they said. We thought you were here for humanitarian aid. Judy told the director of one hospital, no, we're not here for humanitarian aid. We're here for the gospel. We took food to a baby orphanage. How many babies were in the orphanage where the guy kicked us out? Over 100 babies. And we had enough food and blankets and diapers, Pampers, and stuff to take, boxes and boxes, to take care of these 100 kids for probably a month or so. We found out the hospital or the orphanage was so poor that the doctors themselves were paying out of their own pockets, which they make very little, if anything, to help feed these babies. So we brought all this humanitarian aid there. The nurses were ecstatic. They ran and got the director. He was a Muslim. He came and said, we don't want your help. We don't take help from Baptists. And the nurses said, yeah, but we're buying it, we're buying this stuff out of our own pockets. We need this help. Sorry. We don't take humanitarian aid. We don't take help from Baptists. So we had to pack it all up, take it away. It's a tool to get in to do the work that God's given us. We've been warned. I'm going to give you the last one, then I'm done. We've been warned about compromise. It starts out small. Compromise starts out small. And it grows. And the reason it starts out small is because the devil could never convince you to do something so strange way down the trail. But he can trick us to do this little thing. And then he tricks us to do another little thing. And then another little thing. And then another little thing. And pretty soon we're way down the trail where we said we would never, ever go. Compromise. It starts small. It starts innocently. In Exodus chapter 10, Moses is getting ready to leave. Pharaoh has given them permission to leave, all the Jews. And in chapter 10, Pharaoh says, you know, you can go and you can take your children with you when you go, but we want you to leave all your animals behind. You probably remember that story. In chapter 10, verse 26, Moses says, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. No compromise. Moses said, this is what we want to do. Pharaoh said, well, okay, I'll compromise with you. You can do this, but we want you to do this. And that's the way the devil works, you know. He gives you a little bit and then asks to keep just a little bit back. You can read your Bible. The devil, you know, really doesn't care if you read your Bible, as long as you don't obey your Bible. The devil doesn't care if you come to church, as long as coming to church doesn't change your life. The devil really doesn't care if you plan to witness, as long as you never pass out that first tract. Compromise. Don't compromise about salvation. It is what it is. God made the rules. It's His heaven. He's allowed to do that. God made the rules. It's His book. He's allowed to do that. He has not given us any authority to change the rules about salvation, about the Scriptures. I don't want to talk about versions. They make me angry. But a famous old preacher by the name of Lester Roloff said one time, the Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. And if we'll focus on reading what we have, it's amazing what God can do to change us. We cannot compromise. This church is still here because it hasn't compromised on the Word of God. We can't compromise about separation from the world. If it was wrong, if it was sin 20 years ago, the God who never changes, not even the shadow of the variableness of change, that God says that that's still sin. He hasn't changed. We can't compromise with the world. We can't compromise with our standards. We can't. The world will say, you remember the guy that wrote the, what's it called? He's out in California. It's a southern, big Southern Baptist church that doesn't say Baptist. Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Church. Then he wrote Purpose-Driven Youth Ministry or whatever, whatever. Do you know he's come out with the Purpose-Driven Mosque? Do you know that he says we're the same? We serve the same God. We can't compromise. It may look good. It may even come from a famous person. But if it's not Bible, it's wrong.
That's correct.
We need to stay where we are. Don't compromise. Yes, but if you want a big church, then you need to do this and this and this and this. I've been to some of those big churches. There's no gospel there. You can watch a guy on TV that fills up formerly a basketball stadium. Hundreds of thousands of people. Well, I don't know if there's hundreds of thousands actually in the room, but pretty close. It looks like a million, the way they show it. Listen to what he actually says. Don't listen to him. Listen to what he says. And listen to how watered down things are. You see, the devil will say, look, if you want a big church, this you need to get a group of singers in here. And you need to have praise and worship. And what you need is a set of drums over here. And then the choir takes up so much space. So you need to get rid of the choir loft so that we can fit the instruments back here. And you know, this pulpit is so big and bulky. This needs to come out of here, Pastor. We need one of those glass kind or plexiglass kind where you can actually see and smaller. Or maybe even just one of these music stands. And then, don't wear a coat and tie. That's so formal. And you know, we don't want anybody telling us what to do because we're independent Baptists. So instead, you could be like the church we were in last Sunday where the pastor had a little ear thing and the mic comes around in a room that's about half this size where he could talk to everybody without it. And then what you need is a flannel shirt where you can roll up the sleeves and a pair of blue jeans so you can be just like us. You can come down. And he wasn't up. He was down because we're buds. We're not buds. Can you imagine Israel? Now, there are differences. I'm not saying these are the same thing. But can you imagine Israel saying to the high priest, you don't need to wear all those garbs. Just go in, talk to God. He's your bud. Compromise. We've been warned. It's been 37 years of blessings. Not easy. I didn't say easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. 37 years of blessings because we've been warned. If you're not saved, if you're sitting in this room this morning and you're not saved, there's one way to heaven. It's not the Bible Baptist way. Though they follow that way, they did not come up with it. It's not the Baptist way. Many Baptists don't even follow it anymore. It's the Jesus Christ way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. There aren't any other ways. That's the way God planned it. And all these other isms and cults and ways and different things have all come up to counter that way. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I have good news for you. There is a way. And it's a way that has been promised by God Himself leads to heaven. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to live for it. You just have to repent for it. By faith, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It is the Jesus way, the God way to heaven. Would you accept Him today? Don't put it off. In this crazy world, you have no guarantee about tomorrow. Do it today. Christian, stay on that way. Stay in that old path. It's never been popular. The Sunday school teacher said this morning, Jesus said, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. And it's still true today. And it's not comfortable to be hated. But if you're hated for the right reason, then God will bless. Get back to reading. Get back to studying. Study the Word of God. Get back to obeying. Doing what we already know is right to do. And God will continue to bless Bible Baptist Church for till He comes. Till He comes. After that, let the cults have the church. Let them preach whatever they want, read whatever they want. But until He comes, let's remain faithful. Praise God for His faithfulness and yours and this church. Let's stand together, please. God is faithful. Not many people come to the altar anymore at an invitation. Some of you might have read books about the days of Billy Sunday when he would preach. Of course, I'm not any Billy Sunday, of course. But people's, their hearts would be touched, their lives would be changed, whole cities would be changed. It's the same God we serve today. The difference is Are we willing to do whatever God tells us to do? Let's pray, and then I'm going to turn it back over to the preacher. Father, we are so grateful for this church and this pastor, these people, and their faithfulness down through these years. I pray that you'd help us to remember to stay with the things that we've been taught. Stay with the book we've been given. Stay with the church we've been given. And help us to serve you through that. Reach out. Reach more people. You've commanded us only one thing to do, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I pray that you'd bless us in that, in Jesus' name. Pastor.